So, perfect love casts out fear. There's always fear in this world, and and sometimes we think, well, the opposite of believing and fear are opposites. Well, then how come perfect love casts out fear? Well, it doesn't say in the word that love is the opposite of fear. It says that perfect love casts out fear. And really, to get rid of fear in our life, you got to know you're loved. Without if you think you're not loved, that's going to scare you. And so I'm going to use an illustration. Some of you, we put the kitten away. We got a new kitten, and we call him Max. And he's most of the time he's wonderful, but sometimes he acts up. He wanted to chew some of the cables on our. See, I got these wires and stuff. He decided this morning he wanted to chew on the cables to the laptop. So we decided it'd be best to put him out of the room because he doesn't know. He's still learning. But his backstory, as far as we know, it was about a week before Christmas, and our youngest daughter is a police officer, and she was out in this one area in Denver. And this little kitten comes up to her, starts meowing. He's just all friendly, and he needed assistance. And he decides to go to the person he sees, and the person he saw was my daughter, the police officer. And when we're afraid, people sometimes have different reactions. Sometimes when people are afraid, they lash out and they want to. They're afraid they're going to get hurt and they lash out and want to hurt other people. Or they'll just hide their need and won't say anything. They say, "I'm okay," but they're not okay. Well, this little animal, when he was afraid, he was out all by himself. As far as I know, he used to live with somebody because he's friendly. And I think he was born in September, so he's like, 3 or 4 months old. And when he had a need, he went to a human. And he went to this human, and so my daughter, she couldn't take him home and keep him because she already has two animals. So she took him to the animal shelter. And so this poor little guy, he's in the animal shelter. He's in jail for, was it 2 weeks?
Week and a half.
Week and a half or something.
They were looking to see if he had an owner and.
They scan them to see if they have a chip and stuff. I'm not, I, you know, animals are great. I'm not a real animal person, but I'm also not an animal hater. I think that animals are wonderful. They're to bless our lives sometimes. Anyway, so when he finally showed up here the day after Christmas, and on the day after Christmas, we got him, and it was at night, and we put him up in put him in a little room by himself, gave him some food and a little litter box and bed and all that stuff. And the next day he came out and all he wanted to do was just cuddle. He needed to be reassured that he was loved, that he was not going to go back to that kennel or the rescue center where he was, and he needed to know that he was going to be loved, and he just needed, and so all he wanted to do was sit in my lap and just purr and be pet and rub against me and be reassured. And sometimes that's what we need from God. We need to know to get deliverance in life, we have to go to God and we have to be reassured that God loves us. And sometimes that's a great key for healing. Sometimes that's a great key for deliverance in other areas. So let's go to Psalm 27 in the Old Testament.
Did you say 27?
27, yes. Verse 27:1. Oh, I mean Proverbs. I'm in the wrong thing. Gotta go backwards here. Lots of Psalms. Psalms are great, they're little short little Psalms and Proverbs, a little short bit of wisdom in just a couple verses. And it said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, we have to put things in perspective. Because we, like, before fellowship, we sometimes, and sometimes after fellowship, we talk about the things the devil is doing and some of the evil that's going on. But, you know, I skipped ahead to the end of the Bible, and God wins. The devil loses. So, you know, in the meantime, he sometimes, he'll have a small victory here and there, and he'll do some things that are bad, and that's what he does, and that's what he'll do until he's came up in manifestations that he's going to be destroyed in the lake of fire. You know, he'll cease to exist, and in the meantime, God's on our side. God loves us. What's it, you know, God loves us, the devil wants us dead. You know, that's sort of the reality. I'll choose God's side. And so let's go to 1 John. And it also says in John 3:16, we're not going there, but I'll just quote it from memory. I'm going to 1 John, which is in the back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. But anyway, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We handled this last month. And what did God love in the world? The trees, the mountains, the ocean, the sky? No, he loves the people. That's what God so loves. God loves people. And that's who he is, and that's what he is, and that's what he does. God is love. In chapter 4, let's see. Actually, let's start in chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Behold." You know, stop, take a look at this. You know, and the Bible says, "Behold." You know, you stop and you take notice of this. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knows him not." You know, you don't walk into the local Kmart or Walmart and everybody goes, "Oh, look, it's a son of God." They should. You know, there was one point where they did that for Jesus when he had the entry into Jerusalem, and they put the palms down and he rode in on a little donkey and everything, and they said, "You know, this is the Messiah." And then a week later, when they were crucifying him, they were saying, "Oh, give us Barabbas. We don't want this Jesus guy. That was last week. That's old news. We want Barabbas instead." And that's the way the world is. They don't really recognize us. Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." It repeats it. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We don't understand what's going to happen. You know, we see little bits in the book of Revelation and in the epistles. We see a little bit that, you know, we'll be in heaven, we'll be with God. But we don't understand what it's going to be like. We see through a glass darkly. We understand little bits. And there's a lot of people that can make a lot of money where they do their best guess and they write a book, all their guesswork of what it's going to be like. Well, that's nice. Nice little guesswork. But is it true? Maybe, maybe not. But one thing I do know is, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to be like unto Christ. We're going to have a spiritual body. These old bodies where, you know, we get arthritis and achy elbow or tennis elbow or something. Or one of my coworkers had a rotator cuff. He had to get his surgery on his shoulder or something. And, you know, our new bodies won't need surgery. They're gonna just, they'll be healthy and they'll stay healthy. Verse 3, "Every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he," Jesus Christ, "is pure." And let's see, I don't want to read this whole chapter. Let's skip down to verse 13. It says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." See, the world doesn't like us. The world, yeah, I remember there was quite a few ministers back when I was growing up. Rock and roll music was really popular. And there was a lot of ministers that say rock and roll music is evil and it's going to lead you astray. And you shouldn't listen to rock and roll music. And, well, the reason rock and roll music was evil, it wasn't that the musicians were evil and trying to lead the culture and the people astray. It's that the public that was buying music wanted evil. And if they did, like, there was a famous musician that did a song, Sympathy for the Devil, and it sold millions. Years later, he did another song, God Gave Me Everything I Want, and his album tanked and nobody bought that one. They didn't want to hear that. And the world, for the most part, doesn't really want to, they don't want to hear that God loves them. They don't want to hear that God is good. They're fascinated by evil. I mean, that's what how the devil tempted Adam and Eve. You know, the devil came to Eve and said, hey, you know, you don't have this knowledge of good and evil. God only told you about the good stuff. You need to check out the evil. Yeah, evil's cool. We got horns on our head. We're cool. We got this cool music. We're going to go to the nightclub. We're going to get so drunk we'll feel sick the next day. Oh, it's cool, man. No, you know what? I remember when one of our daughters was a young teenager and she thought it was cool to have this piece of clothing with skulls on it. And I said, well, you know, why do you like the skulls? You know, skulls symbolize death. Death is not cool. I said, do you remember how you felt when your little hamster died? Wow, that hurt your heart. And, you know, because death is evil. There's a time coming when death will be conquered. When we're, you know, it said, remember it said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't understand a life without death, but someday we will. And we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of all that stuff. So, you know, we don't have to think evil is cool. Evil's not cool. Evil is destructive. Death is bad. We've all lost people we love.
It's an enemy.
It's an enemy. You know, and my parents died. It hurt my heart. So, let's go to chapter 4. And it says here in verse 1, Beloved, and I need some water here. You know, when it gets below zero outside, you got to run humidifiers in your house to keep it from getting dry. And so, we do that, but it's also good to drink a little water and stay hydrated. Water's good for you. So, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know, there's a lot of people out there saying, God this, God that. And, you know, God is in the trees. Or, what about Buddha? What about Muhammad? What about Captain Crunch? Or, you know, I don't know. You know, everybody's got a take on it. But you know what? It's for me. In my house, we believe the Bible. So it says, believe not every spirit. There's some spirits out there that lie. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. I remember years ago in the 70s, I was witnessing to my older brother, and I was starting to tell him what the Word of God said, and he says, oh, but I know this, and I know this, and he was starting to spout all this other stuff he had heard somewhere else, and it was wrong. And eventually he got born again, God bless him, and, you know, he's now awaiting the return of Christ, but I know he got born again, he spoke in tongues, and, you know, I was able to change his life. But we don't believe every spirit. Verse 2, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. You know, it's interesting. One of these days I have to teach a little bit on the book of Revelation, but a lot of things in the book of Revelation, there's a few simple things. A lot of the signs in the book of Revelation are all signs of the 12 signs of the zodiac, because God put 12 books in the sky that tell the story of Jesus Christ. It starts with Virgo, he was born of a virgin, and it ends with Leo, he's coming back as a lion. The first time he was here, people were able to spit on him and kick him and beat him. Second time he comes, nobody's going to spit on him, nobody's going to beat him. When he says something, it'll happen. It'll be a whole different day. And there are antichrists. But if you look in the book of Revelation, you never see where it talks about the Antichrist. And there's so many preachers that talk about the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. And what they're really talking about, the book of Revelation calls that individual the beast. Because there's going to be a guy that's going to rule the entire earth. And he's going to be so mean and so vicious that he's not going to be human. He's going to be a beast. He will be a human, but he'll be like a beast in his viciousness, in his evil. And so, but you know what? Before that happens, we're going to be gathered together with Christ, and we won't see that. See, we don't have to be afraid of the wrath to come. We're not going to go through the time where you can't buy bread unless you've got the mark of the beast on your forehead. We don't have to be afraid of that. God has saved us from the wrath to come. So, spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and it is already in the world. See, there's already Antichrist. All the devil spirits are Antichrist. They're all against Christ. Verse 4, this is a great verse. Ye are of God, little children. First of all, God is our Father, and we're just little children. We don't understand. Like I had, before fellowship started, I had the little kitten out here. The little guy's like 4 months old, and he doesn't know that chewing on computer cables is not allowed. We haven't trained him yet to do that, you know, and it's like a little puppy, you know, they don't know things, and little kids, they'll do things that, you know, they don't have an evil heart, but they don't know the rules. But we're little children, and we go to the Bible, we learn the rules. And you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who is them? All these evil antichrists, we've overcome them already. How have we overcome them? You know, we're just little children. We don't know what's going on. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. You know, you get these evil people that, there was some, I won't mention who it is, there's some famous female vocalist, and she was playing her song and she's doing some commercial, and she's got this piano that looks like it's an evil dragon from hell, and she's all dressed up in evil garments and she's playing this music, and it's just, and before she got famous, she was a moderately good singer and a moderately good songwriter, but when she went evil, then the world suddenly liked her and started buying her records. When she was just normal, They could care less. Huh?
Taylor Swift.
No, it was actually
Lady. Well, another one, but
actually it was, but I'm talking about Lady Gaga.
Oh, her too, yeah.
Yeah, Lady Gaga, I saw a video before before she made it big. And she's playing piano and she's singing and she had talent. It was a nice song. But nobody paid attention to her. and to really, and reason, you know, it's not that she's part of the leading the culture evil, it's just that for her to make living as a singer, she had to go do evil stuff, and then the world would buy it and would love it. And see, that's why they are of the world, therefore they speak. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And that's just the way the world is. And the world looks at us. But you know what? Remember I said before, I sneaked the book. Here's my Bible. If you go to the last pages, God wins at the end of the book. You know? The devil loses and God wins. So we're on the winning side. You know, in the meantime, we might get a few little bruises, and we might get our bump our toes here and there. And there's sometimes the devil will stir up a little mud and will make a few problems for us. But what does it say in verse 6? We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, we, you know, those of us that are in this Zoom fellowship today, we love God and God loves us. Let's go to Romans. See, we have a great loving God that will protect us. Oh, Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry. You guys can't read my mind? you don't want to read my mind. It's all full of stupid things like, oh, where's the kitty? No. But anyway, it is fun to have you know, I'm not, like I said before, I'm not a big animal person, but when you got this little animal that's just so thankful, you took it into your house and you know, and they do this with their little feet. They need their feet on you when you're, and they purr, you know, and it just makes you feel good. And it's actually interesting because humans, when a human hears a baby cry, we are conditioned to go take care of that baby. And little animals can make noises like little puppies and little kittens. They make little noises like, oh, help me, I'm hungry. Oh, I know. And we have the same reaction that way. It's, you know, it's because we're good people. We have a natural reaction to want to take care of things. And, you know, and God's that way. He heard us crying in the wilderness. Oh, my God, this world's evil. It's a mess. Help us, God. Lord, help me. And when you go to God and you say, Lord, help me, he'll hear you. He'll deliver you. He's there. He doesn't turn his back on us. Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered it. God's not going to be against us. God, you know, he gave his son for us. How shall he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, King James will say, it is God that justifieth. Well, if you look at it is, it's in italics. That means it was added by the translators. So what it should be saying, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Question mark. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died? You know, Christ died for us. You know, he took a brutal beating. He's not going to condemn us. He's on our side. And that is risen from, again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. What shall separate us, or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation?
Yep.
Distress? You know, there's always something going wrong. You know, you can look outside and you say, oh my God, it's below zero. You know, or it's like, oh gosh, are they going to keep me at my job? Are they going to fire me? Or is my car going to break down? Can I afford to fix it? Or is this going to happen? Or is that going to happen? Or I might get a terrible disease. Or I might do none of that stuff. Distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. None of that stuff will separate us from the love of Christ. As it is written, he quotes Psalms here, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Woe's me. Oh, gosh. The world. I just watched this podcast, and he was talking about, oh, they're going to take over the government. We're going to lose all our money. We're going to lose all our freedom. We're going to lose all our Frito-Lay corn chips. Oh, no. What are we going to eat? Oh, well, Oreo cookies are going to quit making those. Oh, no. Oh, I don't like those things anyway. I'm just being silly here. But what does it say in the next verse, 37? Nay! Heck no!
Hell no.
Hell no. You know, I was watching an interview with those of you that have ever been to Michigan. We had that great rock and roll band that came out of Flint, Michigan called Grand Funk Railroad. And Mark Farner, you know, he was a good old, you know, just a young kid that got thrust into fame and fortune well before he was ready, and he had no preparation how to deal with it. And his wife just was going off the rails. Ah, good pun, Grand Funk Railroad going off the rails. That was accidental, but I like that. And so finally, a few years into this rock and roll roller coaster ride, he turns to God. Him and his wife were breaking up. The rock and roll lifestyle was killing him. And he turns to God, and he's now a Christian, and he does, sometimes he'll do Christian music, sometimes he'll do secular music, and he's a good Christian man. And he talks about his Christianity, and he says, you know, I'm not the kind of Christian that doesn't use four-letter words. You know, and he'll say hell and damn. It's like, you know, I was telling you guys how we love our little Max, but sometimes he's a little asshole. So sometimes I use a few words, too. And you know what? It doesn't say you're going to hell if you say a few words. And most of those words are offensive to our culture and not offensive to God. What's offensive to God is when you turn your back on him. And God is going way out of his way to help us when we're in need. And sometimes people turn their back on God. That's what's offensive to God. And we need to be like little Max was when he went up to Jesse, the police officer, and said, meow. And that little meow meant, I need help. I can't make it in this world on my own. I'm a little kitten 3 months old. I don't know what the heck I'm going to do for my next meal. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. And we need to go to God like that little kitten went to Jesse. And God will help us. So why is it, what's it say here? Nay, in all these things, we usually figure it out and come out pretty well. No. In all these things, we're going to conquer. That's getting closer. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that likes us. No, God loves. The reason we're able to be more than conquerors is God's love. God so loved us that God loved Mark Farner when he was out living the rock and roll lifestyle. He was doing drugs. He was messing around with all sorts of women. He was doing all these things, living for himself, could care less about God. God still loved him, and he called him, and he turned his heart back to the one true God. And God will do that for us, too. For I am persuaded that neither death, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. If we, sooner or later, if Christ doesn't come back, we're all going to get old and die. But even then, there's going to be a resurrection. God says in the Bible there's a resurrection. So neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the love of God cuts through all of that. It cuts through everything. That's how perfect love can cast out fear. The love of God is the ultimate trump card. If you ever play spades, what is it in spades? The ace of spades is the ultimate trump card that trumps everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not much of a card player. But I think that's the way it works. But anyway, it's the ultimate trump card. What time's it getting to be? It's 11:50. So I've got another scripture. We're going to skip that one. I was reading Daniel last night. And the book of Daniel. The leaders of Israel, well, the people of Israel and the leaders of Israel got so screwed up, they walked away from God. They just flipped their nose at God like, we don't need you. And they got taken over by Babylon. And they were carried away to Babylon for many years. And while they're in Babylon, you know, Daniel got thrown into the lion's den. Talk about fear. Would you like to be in a den with hungry lions? But somehow God's love gave him a way out. He didn't get eaten. He wasn't lion food. And in the same book, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the thing where the king Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that whenever this music played, everybody had to bow down and worship this huge statue that was like 40 feet tall of King Nebuchadnezzar. Worship this idol like it was a god. And the children of Israel said, no, we don't worship idols. We have one true God. And if you don't worship that, you get thrown in the fire. And they made the fire so hot that the guys that threw them in the fire got killed. But the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they survived it. And there was an angel in there with him. It said it looked like the Son of God. It was sort of foretelling the power the Son of God would have, even in the Old Testament. And so they had great challenges in their life, great reason to fear. And nothing, we don't have anything like that. You know, we have things to be afraid of, but God will get us through it. God's love will cast out that fear, and he'll deliver us. So we're always going to win. And so that's what I had to share today. And I'm going to have a closing prayer, and then we'll stay on the line and we'll talk for a while. And then Diane and I, we in case anybody showed up, we had marinara sauce and meatballs, and so we're going to have spaghetti and meatballs and all that stuff.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, doesn't it? What? Cheese? I think we're going to make some garlic bread, and we're just going to have a great old meal, because I didn't want to cook on the grill when it's below zero outside.
No.
So
it's a little cold for that.
Yeah. It's harder to cook the meat, too. But anyway, so I'm going to have closing prayer, and we'll keep talking for a while. And so, Father, thank you for your word today. And Father, thank you that you do. Thanks for loving us. We're stinkers. We don't deserve your love. We didn't deserve the sacrifice of Jesus Christ dying on our behalf. But Father God, thank you for this. And thank you that you do love us, unconditionally love us. And Father, the little bit we can do is we can love you back, and we can do the little bit we know of your word. And we don't understand what's going to happen in the future, but we do know that our side wins, and we do know that you'll take care of us, and that not even death can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. So I thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.